afraid of the dark? Raise your hand. Anybody? Christy's afraid of the dark? That's Christy? All right, I'll admit I'm afraid of the dark sometimes. You too? In a cave? Yeah. So the circumstances can make it worse. Jesus begs to differ with us. Join me in John chapter 3. John chapter 3, verse 16, maybe the most well-known verse in all the world from the Bible. And let's look and see what Jesus says about being afraid of the dark. Verse 16, "For God so loved the world," Jesus is speaking, he's talking to a man named Nicodemus. He's answering a question that Nicodemus asked him. And he says the words that many of us are so very familiar with. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son, Jesus, into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. That's why he died on the cross, gave his life." I just lost my place. There we are, verse 18. "Whoever believes in him and Jesus is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." It really is about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Verse 19. "This is the verdict. Light has come into the world," that's Jesus, "but men were afraid of the dark and came running to the light." Is that what your Bible says? It's not what any of our Bibles says. It says, "Men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come to the light for fear that his or her deeds will be exposed." Now, I know when I ask you if you're afraid of the dark, we're thinking of the physical darkness. And in this case, Jesus is talking about a bigger picture of spiritual darkness. But the truth is, we live in a world that is trapped, is caught in spiritual darkness. And when we just stop and come to terms with who we are as people, we're really not afraid of the dark. We like the dark. We're afraid of the light. We're afraid of being exposed. Now, I won't pick on you. I'll pick on me this morning. I do not want you to have on the video screen behind me pictures of all the thoughts and attitudes that I had this week. That scares me. I'm afraid of that. Why? What does it say in the text? We're afraid of the light because our deeds are evil, and we're afraid of being exposed. We're afraid of what we do being known to people, being known to other people. And we like the darkness and what the darkness provides. Turn with me to our text this morning. As Matt pointed out, we're in chapter 8. Jesus continues talking about the light. And I propose to us this morning this statement from these verses, chapter 8, verse 12. We'll look at verse 12 through 30. Jesus intentionally came, he came on purpose to the earth to pierce that spiritual darkness with the light of his life. He came to earth and he pierced the darkness, the spiritual darkness that the world was in then and is still trapped in today, to pierce that darkness with the light of his life. The darker the darkness, the more brilliant the light is in that setting. You know what I mean by that? I've been in caves before. In fact, Don and I have been in a cave before. I won't tell you the story, but I will tell you, suggest that you ask him about the story in the cave. He's shaking his head, and ask him about the question that he asked of your guide, and he'll be glad to tell you that. We're in this cave underground, and they turn off the light. And if you've been in that setting, I mean, it's darkness like we literally, you know, the thing about the hand in front of your face, you cannot see nothing. And we were only in the dark for a few minutes. When the light comes back on, what happens? Wow, it's kind of piercing. It's so bright. The darker the darkness, the more piercing the light is in that situation. And Jesus came to earth to a very dark, dark situation. Our earth, mankind. And his life pierced that darkness. His life stands as a light in that darkness. In fact, in our text this morning, look at verse 12. As Jesus was talking to this group of people, he spoke again, and he said, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. His life is the light of the world. His words, his actions, all that he is this piercing light in a dark world. Now, there's two things we're going to look at here this morning. What it looks like to live in the light, and what it looks like to live in the dark. Okay? Real simple. I'm going to give you three characteristics of what it looks like to live in the light, and then we'll look at four characteristics of what it looks like to live in the dark. And here's the challenge that is before each of us as an individual. You're sitting here in a building, people. Some you know. Maybe a guest this morning may not know us. That doesn't matter. What matters this morning is that as you sit in your chair, and we have these next few minutes together, is that you take a look at what we are reading this morning from John chapter 8, and you identify yourself. You identify where you are at. What characteristics describe you? I've had the opportunity to do that over this past week. And now we will have an opportunity to do that together. What it looks like to live in the light is what it looks like to live in the dark. Jesus came. He pierced the darkness with the light of his life. Let me read verse 12 again. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Three characteristics of walking in the light. The first one is this. To live in the light, if we are living in the light, it begins and it is characterized by following Jesus. He makes a very, very clear and simple statement. If you haven't been here on Sunday morning to go through this study, I encourage you to read through John chapter 1 up to where we are today at John chapter 8. This is nothing new. This is a pattern that we've seen in Jesus as he interacts with people. He consistently and regularly says, this is who I am. This is what I need to do. Come to me. Put your faith in me. Here he says, follow me. Whoever follows me. And then he talks about the benefit. The first characteristic of living in the light, is that we choose to follow Jesus Christ. Now, you've also seen as we've gone through the study, Jesus is talking to a group of people that is made up of all kinds of people spiritually. There are people there that have made a choice to follow him, and they're there with him. There are people that are doing what some of you are doing this morning. Did some pretty amazing things. Last week we saw that the soldiers from the temple said, nobody teaches like this guy. This guy is intriguing. This guy says things that really make you think. He doesn't talk like our normal teachers, our priests, our leaders. There were some there going, I don't know what it would do for me if I chose to follow him. I heard that he fed 5,000 people for free. He didn't have to pay for lunch. What would it be like to have that in my life? These people haven't changed. We're a group of people, and some of you here this morning have chosen to follow Jesus Christ. You put your faith in him. You can read ahead if you want to verse 30 right now in chapter 8 and look at the last verse of the text and see what some people did. Go ahead. It tells us what some of the people did. And you fall into that category. You have put your faith in Jesus Christ. He's the real Savior. And there are some here this morning, you're here for all kinds of reasons. You'd rather be here than sleep in. No, I don't think there's anybody here like that. You'd rather be here than me at home watching football. No, I would probably never do like that either. You're here because somebody invited you. You're here because something prompted you, something came to mind, and you thought, I'm going to check out that place. Maybe there'll be some answers to my questions. Some are here this morning because life is really, really tough right now. Things are really hard. Financially, relationally, health. Life is really hard. Maybe there's some answers to my problem and some ago. That's what's sitting around Jesus in the sitting as he's speaking. There's people at all different places. And he says to them, I'm the light of the world. I'm the light. I'm the truth. I shed light on reality. I represent what is true, what is right. A little bit later he'll say, valid. want to walk in the light? Do you want to live in the light? Come to me. What was the word that was used in verse 30 for those of you that look? Many of them put their faith in Him, their trust. It's believe. So the first characteristic of walking in the light is that you follow Him. The second characteristic is that you walk in the truth. You walk in the truth. Let's go back to chapter 1, verse 14. In fact, I'm going to read a few verses from chapter 1. In John, chapter 1. Go back with me, just a couple of pages. John chapter 1. In the beginning, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the what? The light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John the Baptist. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, Jesus, so that through Him all men might believe. He Himself was not the light. He came as a witness to the light, the true light, Jesus, that gives light to every man who's coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through Him, though He was the Creator, the world that He created did not recognize Him. He came to that which was His own, but His own did not receive Him. Yet, to all who received Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, of physical birth, nor of a human decision or of a husband's will, but born of God. Look at verse 14. The Word became flesh. Jesus took on human form. He made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, who was grace and truth. Wow. What a picture. It's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ that pierced the darkness. And to walk in the darkness means to believe that, to receive that, to accept that, to follow after that. And as we do that, the second characteristic is that we will walk in the truth. We will walk in the light. What does Jesus say back in John chapter 8, there in verse 12? Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness. The illustration, the picture, the metaphor, if you will, of light is truth. It's truth. Last night, and I told you this story before, but it happened again last night. I got up to go to the bathroom. I'm 48 years old. I've seen the commercials on TV. They say, you have to go. Well, I have to go. It's happening. So, once a night, typically, and it's for some reason like 3, 4 a.m., I wake up, and I'm not going to go back to sleep unless I go to the bathroom. So I get up, I go to the bathroom, we're redoing our closet, so the ironing board is sitting out in the bedroom. And I walk from my bed 20 feet to the bathroom door, and I walk around the corner of my bed, and I kick the ironing board with my foot. And I told you before how much I hate that pain. God was good last night. The leg of the ironing board was right between my big toe and the next toe. And so it went in between, and God was gracious. Why did I kick something that I knew was there? It's been there for a couple of weeks. I'm very familiar with my bedroom. It's because I was walking in the dark. And I could not see. I was not aware. I could not see the truth of the relationship, the spatial distance between me and that ironing board. Simple little thing. But it's not a simple little thing when we live in spiritual darkness, because the danger is vastly greater. The light represents the truth. All I had to do was turn on the light, and I would be able to see the truth. I would be able to see where the ironing board was. I could see where the door to the bathroom was. I could see where the toilet was. I could see all the information that I needed, and I could walk in the light. I can walk in the truth. So when Jesus says, come to the light, come to me, follow me, and you will never walk in darkness, the characteristic of living in the light, and this is what I want you to look at your life as I am, you walk in the truth. You know the truth. When you come to Jesus and you live in the light, you know the truth. You know what is right, and you know what is wrong. You know what is real, and you know what is false. I don't need to tell anybody in this room. Everybody is a, I don't know what the youngest age is, but I know we got a couple. But even Kaylee understands that there's all kinds of different ideas and thoughts that people are already telling her and telling us, this is the truth. This is what's real. This is what will make you happy. This is what will fulfill you. This is what you need to be or to pursue to be complete. Our government tells us they've got the answer. What needs to happen to fix things? Go to school, your teacher will tell you. Go to college, the professor will tell you. Turn on the television, watch the commercials. Commercials are so wise. They're so deep. All I have to do is buy that car, or drink that beer, or brush my teeth with that. And I'm telling you, I got all beautiful friends, and I got a nice car, a nice house, and life is good. The Word of God tells us that we live in darkness. It's referring to the spiritual darkness of our own hearts and the world, the culture in which we live. And Jesus said, you come to me, and you will never have to walk in that darkness again. It is only the truth. I can watch a TV commercial that says, do this, and you'll be happy. The retirement commercials and investments and all, you know, and I'm at that age, in middle age, where, you know, that's really important to me. And if you just take these steps, then you can just live this fabulous life. And I can sit there on my couch and look at that message on the commercial and know that it's not the truth. Why? Because I'm really wise and smart? No, if you know me, you know that's not true. It's because I walk in the light. And Jesus says, if you follow me, you will never walk in darkness. You will know the truth. Another occasion, he says, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Free from what? Free from kicking your foot into the ironing board. Free from making stupid decisions and following a path that's going to lead you to destruction. And wake up too late one day and say, oh, this is all wrong. This is all wrong. I bought into something and it looked good and now it's empty. And it's ridiculous. And I am empty inside. And I'm lost. The characteristic of walking in the light is that you never walk in darkness, you walk in the truth. Come to Jesus, follow Jesus, and you will find the truth. And the truth will set you free. Living in the light is not only walking in the truth, but in this statement that he makes, it also is characterized by experiencing real life. See what he says there? I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but instead will have what? The light, the truth of life. Do you want real life? I do. I really do. But don't raise your hand, I'll raise mine. You can just mock me and laugh at me. I have pursued and gone after and thought I knew what would really give me life. I have. If I just have that, life will be good. If I can just lose 15, life will be good. If the people that I love and the relationships that I'm a part of will just move out and everybody just get along and be happy with each other, life will be good. We use that word life. We toss it out there. We even have a game that we play called life. We're all in the pursuit. We are. We're Americans. We have the freedom for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. What's going to make me happy? What's going to give me a good life? Jesus says, you follow me, you never walk in darkness, but you have a light and life. And this theme goes through his teaching, through his life, that if you want life and to have it to the full, then come to me. So the characteristics of walking in the light are just that. We have to follow Jesus. The only way, and I say this with great humility and I want to be perfectly understood, this is not a reflection of me and my wisdom or my claim. I'm simply repeating to you what God claims, what the Word of God claims, the Bible. And that is the only way for you and I to truly have life is in Jesus Christ. Follow me. Come to me. And you will never walk in darkness, and you will have the light of life. Those are the characteristics of living in life. Now, what about living in the dark? There's a side lesson here that I want us to catch. Jesus says what he needs to say, or he makes his claim, he makes his statement in one verse. Now, the rest of the verses that we're going to look at from 13 to 30 is Jesus and the Pharisees basically, I won't say arguing, what's the nicer word? Discussing. Right? You don't argue with your wife, right? I don't argue with my wife. We debate. No, that even sounds. He's hiding over there. We dialogue. Okay, they're going to dialogue. Jesus and the Pharisees, the leaders, are going to dialogue over this whole claim that he makes. And in these verses, I'll quickly four characteristics. Four characteristics of what it looks like to live in the dark. Verse 13, after he says this, the Pharisees did what? They challenged him. They challenged him. Here you are appearing as your own witness. Your testimony is not valid. What they're saying is this. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. I am the most incredibly handsome man on the face of the planet. Now, DJ already said, no, you're not. I am. And so he's disagreeing with me. I'm making this claim. I am the best-looking man in all the planet, in all the world. And some of you would rightfully go, you know what, sir? Sam, I can tell by looking at his face. Again, he thinks he is. So we really got this debate going on, all these guys. That's not a valid testimony. Right? And that's so subjective. How do I prove that? And that's what they're saying. They're saying, you're testifying on your own behalf. You're making these claims. It's for this and this and this. That you're the only way. That you're the light. And they're also in this challenge implying that you said things about us that we don't like. So they challenge him, and they challenge him by saying, you're appearing as your own witness. Your testimony is not valid. I think we looked at this in chapter 5. You know that? You know that? And the whole idea of giving testimony and a code of law. Verse 14, Jesus answered, even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid. Why? How can you make that claim? For I know where I came from, and I know where I'm going. He's simply saying, I know the truth. It's a reference to his deity, being God. I know where I came from. I know who I am. And I know where I'm going. I know the end of the story. We might even say that he's saying, I know it all. I know everything. I know all the pieces. I have the total package, the big picture. I know who I am, where I came from, and where I'm going. But you have no idea where I come from or where I'm going. You judge by human standards. In the Greek here, it literally says, you judge according to the flesh. What's he saying? He's saying, you judge based on your sinful, selfish nature. That's the basis of the judgment. That's the basis of your decision and what you conclude. A, you're limited because you're human. True? We have very limited capacity to see and really understand. You ever try to judge somebody's motive and be wrong? I have a size 9.5 foot, or mouth, and it just fits right in there. I'm limited. Can I tell you what's going to happen to you tomorrow afternoon? Not a clue. Jesus says you're limited, and you judge based on your limitedness, and you judge based upon your sinfulness, your sinful flesh. I pass judgment on no one. Literally, I don't judge in that way. But if I do judge, my decisions are right, because I am not alone. I stand with the Father who sent me. Now, why is that important? He'll tell us in verse 17, but let me begin from that. He's making the claim that there are two witnesses that are saying the same thing. He being one of them, and God the Father being the other. Look at verse 17. In your own law, it is written that the testimony of two men is valid. I am one who testified for myself. My other witness is the Father who sent me. He's pointing them right back to their own law, what they claim to be living their lives based on. He says, you and your law have a rule that if two witnesses come forward and they both testify to the facts and those facts agree, I don't know how that works in like an investigation of an accident, Officer Coffin, CHP, but I imagine it's a pretty good thing to have two witnesses that don't know each other independently giving the same testimony and the facts agree. That's pretty powerful in a civil law. That's what he's saying. He's saying there's two. This is you want in your law. There's two witnesses. One of them is me, and the other is the Father. Verse 19, they asked him, well, where is your Father? Now, most scholars, no, I won't say most, some believe that they're mocking him here, and it could be. Other scholars see this as a reference to Joseph back in I believe it's chapter 5. Six, he says, yeah, you do know who I am. You know where I'm from. Referring to that he was the son of Joseph and Mary and that he was from Nazareth. He says, yeah, you get that. You get my earthly connection. But you really don't know who I am and where I'm from. And I think the reference here is where's the Father? Where's Joseph? Most scholars do believe that Joseph is dead at this point because we have no reference to him. That's possible. But they're still hooked into this physical earthly realm. We've seen it over and over, right? They're not with him. They're not getting it. Where is your Father? Bring him out. If you think your Father is your other testimony, bring him forward. Maybe they knew that Joseph was dead and he couldn't do that. But the next verse tells us, you do not know me or my Father. You don't really know who I am and you don't really know who my Father is. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. Verse 20 tells us that he spoke these words while teaching in the temple area, near the place where the offerings were put. These 13 containers that people could put their offerings in, and each of them was marked with a purpose, like for the poor, for the hungry, that kind of thing. And so this was a part of the temple right there where people walk up and put in their offerings. So he's right in the middle of the temple area, and yet it tells us no one sees him because his time had not yet come. Verse 21. Once more Jesus said to them, he continues the dialogue. I am going away, and you will look for me, and you will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come. This made the Jews ask, did he kill himself? Is he going to commit suicide? And that's why he says, where I go, you cannot come? You know what they believed about someone who committed suicide? Yeah, it was unforgivable. You committed suicide, you went to hell, and there was no hope for you. And so here they are saying, well, if he's saying he's going to commit suicide and go to hell, and that's why we cannot go there? Because in their minds, they weren't going there. They would never go there. Is that what he's trying to say? Verse 23, he continued, you are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. Told you that you would die in your sin. If you do not believe that I am the one I claim to be, you will indeed die in your sin. What is he doing? He is continuing to be the light. He is continuing to speak the truth. They're caught up in all these things and they're trying to figure it out and they don't get it, and he just patiently keeps coming back to the truth. Why? Because he's the light. This is why he came. Now, this is the thing in most English Bibles, including my NIV, that verse reads, if you do not believe that I am the one I claim to be. You know what it is in the Greek? Ego emi. I am. So do it again in verse 28. I am. Next week when we come to the end of chapter 8, is the famous moment where he says, before Abraham was, I am. And where does that phrase come from? Where have we heard that? I am. We have to go all the way back to Exodus, where Moses is at the burning bush, and God says, I want you, God is speaking to Moses, and I want you to go back and lead my people out of Egypt. And Moses says, well, who did I tell him? They sent me. What's your name? What did I tell them? Remember what God spoke to the bush? He said, you tell them that I am. I am. I'm eternal. I have always existed. I am. And here is Jesus in this context, the situation with these men, these leaders, and he says, unless you believe that I am, you will die in vain. Unless you believe, and let's read it the way it's here in the NIV because it's not incorrect. Unless you believe that I am the one I claim to be. Unless you believe that I am God, that I am the Messiah, that I have come to earth purposefully, specifically to be the Savior of the world. Unless you believe that, you will die in your sin. Now, this is a sobering moment. In his dialogue and his interaction with these people, I told somebody this week, as we go through this book of John, I've never talked with you before. The intensity of the dialogue, the interaction between Jesus and the leaders of the people is doing this. It's doing this. It tells us here in our text, it says that nobody arrested him because it was not yet his time. We saw even when he made the wine at the wedding. Woman, why do you ask me to make the wine? It's not yet my time. We've seen people try to force him to be their king. And he escaped because it wasn't yet his time. What is his time? His time is when we find him, and we'll see it in a couple of months when we get there. On his knees, in the Garden of Gethsemane, it tells us that he was sweating as it were drops of blood. And in that moment, he says, Father, if there's any way for this cup to pass from me, but no, not my will, but your will be done. And he stood up, he went back to his disciples, he woke them up, and the guards came, and they arrested him, and they took him, and tried him, and executed him. That was his time. All of this refers to why he came, why he was here. And as he's having this discussion with his men, he's telling them, I am the fulfillment of everything that you've studied in the Old Testament. I am the Messiah. I am the promised one. I am the prophet of Deuteronomy 18. I'm here. I'm the light. I'm the truth. And if you do not believe that I am, you will die in your sin. Do you see the sober moment here, the seriousness of what he's saying? Go back to 23. You are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sin. If you do not believe that I am he, that I am the one, that I am, you will indeed die in your sin. And they asked him, Who are you? His reply, middle 25, just what I have been claiming all along. I am. I have much to say in judgment of you. There's much that we could talk about. And just how blind you really are. How wrong you are in how you're leading the people. How hypocritical you are. The inconsistencies of your teaching and your claims and what you're doing. Your sin. There's so much that we could talk about in judgment of you. But he, God the Father who sent me, is reliable. The word reliable here is the same exact word as valid over in verse 14. It's true. It's the word true. It's right. God who sent me is true. He's reliable, and what I've heard from him, I tell you, what he's saying. I've been sent by the Father for a specific purpose, and it's good. It's true. And I will do it. I'm not going to get sidetracked in arguments about all these things. I'm just going to stay on my message and what God the Father has sent God the Son to do. I am here for that reason. Verse 27. You see yourself there in verse 27? They did not understand what he was telling them about his Father. Jesus understood this, and so he says to them in verse 28, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, what is he referring to? He's referring to when he's hanging on the cross. When he's hanging up on a cross, and he's lifted up, which is what he came to do, and that moment happens, look what he says. Then you will know, here's that same phrase, I am. Then you will know that I'm God. Then you will know that I am who I claim to be. The book of Acts tells us that there were many priests and leaders that put their faith in Jesus Christ in the early days of the church. And that's a reference here to many of these readers that he's speaking to right now. One day, when you see that happen, many of you will get it. You will get it, and you will know that I am who I am. Some will still reject him, some will put their faith in him. And you will know that I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him. Verse 30 says, even as he spoke, many that's better than remember. Many put their faith in him. Let me give you these four characteristics of walking in the dark. What does it look like to live in the dark? Number one, to live in the dark is to avoid the light. To live in the dark is to avoid the light. Here is Jesus standing before them, doing miracles, teaching in such a way that is transforming hearts. By the time we get to John chapter 11, he will raise somebody from the dead who's been dead for 3+ days. And the people there seeing it run to these leaders, and they tell them, and you know what the leaders say? You gotta kill him. He gives life to the dead. Yeah, everybody's going to follow him, and you know our jobs are going to be, you know, we're going to be outsourced. You know, we're not going to need it anymore, and our whole life is going to change. We got to kill him. The first characteristic of walking in the dark that describes these and all of us before we put our faith in Jesus Christ is that we avoid the light. We hide from the light. I hope this doesn't happen for you, but I know this is fun. Where you had cockroaches in your kitchen. And you take me out, okay? You know what happens when you come in the middle of the night, you get a glass of water and you turn the light? They all jump up and jump like a little thing. I'm glad you're here, you know? What do? They run, they flee. They're afraid of the light. They don't want to get in a foot, they run. God's put an instinct into them to run away and avoid the light because then they're vulnerable. The first characteristic of walking in darkness and not following Jesus Christ is that we hide from the light. That's what they're doing. Then Jesus saying, here's the truth. Here's who I am. If you will believe that I am, you will live. Come to the light. I'm the light of the world. Come to me. Follow me, and you will never walk in darkness. You will have the light of life. Who is your father? Yeah, Luke. I am your father. That's it. What's happening? They're hiding. They're avoiding the light. And we saw in chapter 5 or chapter 1 why that is true. The second characteristic to live in the dark is to walk in ignorance, blindness, and confusion. Let's look at these guys for what they are. Let's identify what's happening there. But let's do this. Let's be very careful not to judge them and not see how we share those same characteristics. We do the same thing because we're in darkness. And when the truth is presented to us, we often respond with ignorance, blindness, and confusion. Who are you? Where is your father? Your testimony is not valid. Do we ever throw up those kinds of responses? Yeah. And if you're here this morning and Jesus is not your Lord and Savior, you've not come to the light, that describes you, and I say that graciously because it describes all of us before we come to know Jesus Christ as our Savior. You're in the dark. You're in the dark. And so you're going to be confused in the dark. You're going to be blind in the dark. You're going to be confused in the dark. It's only through the light of the life of Jesus Christ that blindness and confusion and ignorance is removed. The truth is always the answer. Truth of Jesus Christ, but the characteristic of walking in darkness is that we walk in ignorance, blindness, and confusion. And that's what's happening here in this text. Number three, to live in the dark is to reject His grace. To live in the dark is to reject His grace, even when it's offered to you, the offer of life, the offer of truth. Look at chapter 5 of John. Chapter 5 of John. This is Jesus speaking. These people in earlier dialogue. You diligently study the scriptures because you think that by them you possess eternal life. These are the scriptures that testify about me. Yet you refuse to come to me to have life. That describes every person before they put their faith in Jesus Christ. Without exception. I don't care how good or bad you are. But let's just agree this morning to quit playing that game. Okay? Let's quit playing the game of someone's better than me, someone's worse than me, they've done horrendous things and I haven't, so I'm better than them. Or the game of I'm worthless, I'm worth nothing because I've done such terrible things and made such hurtful, bad choices. Let's stop playing that game. God doesn't play that game. God operates by grace. He offers grace. And the way for us to receive that grace is to come to the truth that all of us, every single one of us, is a sinner, born in sin, under the condemnation of sin, and our only hope is the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do we agree to that? It's not how good or bad you are, or whether you deserve it or not. None of us do. But walking in the dark, the characteristic of walking in the dark, is we reject that grace. And maybe we reject it, well, I won't get into it for time's sake. There could be a hundred different reasons why we don't reject it. The bottom line is we reject His grace. He says, here I am. I am. Believe in me. Come to me. And you will live. And they reject it. They reject it. All of His miracles, all of His testimony, all of His life, other people around Him, we see in verse 30, many even as He spoke, there in that crowd, put their faith in Him. And here's these leaders with their arms folded spiritually, rejecting the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do not be guilty of rejecting His grace. All of us are guilty of sin. Right? I'll stand with Paul. I'm chief of sinners. I'm guilty. I stand guilty because of my sin. Let's not be guilty of rejecting the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. But that is a characteristic of walking in the dark. Failing us and rejecting grace. And number four, we die in the dark. We die in the dark. To walk in the dark, to live in the dark, these three characteristics, the fourth one, will always come about if we continue to live in the dark, and that is we die in the storm. There's no way that you can convince me that Jesus found pleasure in that statement that he stood before those people. We saw in chapter 1 that he came into his own. Now we can take that to the world that he created. We can also take it that he came to his own. He came to the Jewish people. He came to Israel. He came to the people that God chose through Abraham. And he chose to be born into a Jewish family and came to the Jewish people, and they received him not. They rejected his grace. It gave him no pleasure to look at those group of people and say, I told you that you will die in your sins. You will die in your sins. And you should believe in me. Living in the dark, and you die in the dark. Last night I could have turned on the light. All I had to do was look right to my dad. With an armory, there's a lamp. Because I'm such a Christian, besides being a world handsome man, I'm also the most loving husband. And I don't want to turn the light on and wake up my wife. No. All I had to do was turn on the light. That's all I had to do, right? Well, yeah, I'd look in the mirror. I see what you're saying. And I'd realize I'm not the loving husband and I'm not the handsome. All I had to do is turn on the light, and I would know the truth, and I could walk into the bathroom and not hurt myself. The characteristic of living in the dark, walking in the dark, which is what I chose to do last night, is I will die in the dark. I will smash my toe in the dark. I will hurt myself in the dark. I will continue to be confused and ignorant and blind, right up to the point of death and the end of my life on this earth, and I will go into eternity lost. Because I died in my sin. The fourth characteristic of walking in the dark is that we die in the dark. There is no sadder truth or testimony in the Word of God. That Jesus came, He is the light, He gives us the truth. He calls us to follow Him. And if we come to Him and believe in Him, we can live in the light, and yet we reject Him and we die in the dark. I invite our worship team to come. We're going to respond this morning. And as they're coming, let me ask you a couple of questions. These are really, really serious questions. First one is, are you in the dark? Are you still living in the dark? I don't know everybody here this morning. Some of you I know very well, and the fruit of your life testifies that you're walking in the light. And Jesus is working in you and through you. He's rescued you. He has saved you. You received His grace by faith, and your life reveals the fruit of that. Some of you I don't know well enough to just say, I can see that. You have to answer that between you and God. Go back to verse 12. You got your Bible open there? Just go back to verse 12 and read again to yourself what Jesus said. I am the light of the world. If you come to Him, you will never walk in darkness, and you will have the light of God. You will hear Him today. But spiritually, if you're in the dark, now is the moment to step out of the dark by faith into the light. Verse 30, even as He spoke, many put their faith in Him. You can be one of those many. Jesus came for you. God gave me a simple song years ago that has been very significant to me, that I sing all the time in my heart. I sing it out loud and I play it on the guitar. It's a very simple song that just deals with this truth. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. You lay your burdens down at the foot of the cross and you come to Jesus. You recognize that He is who He is, and that cross is where He gave His life as the sinless, perfect Lamb to pay for my sins and yours. Come to Jesus. He says there in verse 12, He's talking to you. I am the light of the world. If anyone comes to me, you'll never walk in darkness. There's no going back. Once you come into the light, you have the truth. Come to Jesus. He has pierced our darkness with the light of His life. He's done it. He's provided for it. All that's left to do is for those of us that are in the dark to respond to Him in faith and come into the light. And you will find grace and mercy to help you in your time of need. This is my last question. For those of us that have come to the light, and we know the light of Jesus Christ in our life, who could be sitting next to you today? Is there no one in your life that is in the dark that you love enough to invite them, to bring them with you, and have them be exposed to the truth, the light of who Jesus Christ is? Everybody in your life is already in the light. Who could be sitting next to you this morning? Who could be sitting next to me this morning? If we've come to the light, Jesus is very clear. Matthew chapter 5, you are the light of the world. Is that what He said? Am I making that up? No, I'm not making that up. That's what He said. Who could be sitting next to us this morning and exposed to the truth of Jesus Christ? He said, I am the light of the world. Anyone who comes to me, we'll never walk in darkness, but we have the light of Jesus. Father, thank You for sending Your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank You for loving us enough not to leave us in the dark, but to provide a way for us to